There's a lot of times I see that video and I go, I wish my desk were that clean. If you have that reaction, you may have a desk that's not ever clean. That's totally me. I'm not sure if it's you. Simplify. This is the last week for this series. We've been 4 weeks in now. It's the fifth week, and we've talked about a couple different topics. To start this week, I would caution. Are there some of you who are afraid of bugs? Don't like to see them, especially the creepier looking that they are. Not just spiders, but other bugs too. But just a warning, you're going to see a picture of one. This picture is a caterpillar, kind of a weird looking little caterpillar. More specifically, it's known as the pine processionary caterpillar. I realize it's not like a spider, not super freaky, but it is a little weird looking in my mind. And it doesn't look too dangerous, but apparently it can tear down forests and trees, and it also is bad to touch. I guess if you touch the spines on those things, they can stick in your fingers and cause apparently pretty bad infections. So there you go. Don't touch these things. But what's interesting about these and why I show you a picture of them is that it's how they get their name. They're called the pine processionary caterpillar. They move in a line together. Here's a picture kind of what happens when they decide to move. You see that in a second. They lay down some kind of a pheromone or something, they say, and so when that happens, the caterpillar behind follows directly in line of the caterpillar in front. And they'll do this for however long it is they need to move to wherever it is that they're going. They've observed hundreds of these in lines moving together before. So the interesting thing begins now that you know what these caterpillars do. There was a scientist who does what scientists do and do crazy things with these kind of stuff. So he found these caterpillars and knew they followed each other, and so he took a flower pot. And somehow, I don't know how you induce a caterpillar, but he induced a caterpillar to crawl up on the flower pot. Maybe he placed them there, I don't know. And he started them crawling around the rim of the flower pot. And eventually, there were enough of them that they were head to tail all the way around the flower pot. And as you can guess what happened, they just kept following each other. And they kept following each other. So then he said, I wonder how long they'll do this, and especially if I put something that might entice them away from that. So he put some kind of food. Again, I don't know how you determine what a caterpillar likes, but some kind of food which they apparently liked in the middle of the flower pot, and tried to see how long it would take before some of them would veer off and finally eat. You probably guessed that that didn't happen. 7 days later, most of them died from exhaustion and lack of food, starvation and exhaustion. They covered a lot of ground, the caterpillars did, in those 7 days. I mean, they moved a long ways. They were busy, but they didn't get anywhere. They confused activity with progress. Does that sound at all familiar? This is kind of what we've been talking about. This is why we've been in this series. There's oftentimes we can do things or be busy or have lots of stress and complication and anxiety, and we feel like we might be accomplishing something, but we often are a little more like the caterpillars, running head to tail, not really getting anywhere. The premise of the series has been, what does it really mean when Jesus says that you can have life and have that life to the full? How do we experience that life that Jesus promises us? Because rather, I think, and this has been what we've talked about, we often hear words like overwhelmed or exhausted or anxious or busy. What if life wasn't that way? I think this has been a fairly practical series, hopefully for you. We've talked about what does simplify mean in your relationship with God and spending time with Christ. What does it mean in your finances? What does it mean in your relationships? What does it mean for your calendar? And I want to finish this series with probably a big question that's going to end up relating back to all the stuff we've talked about already. In fact, you might have to go back and even reconsider your answers to some of the first couple weeks' things as we talk about this week's. I know that's exciting for you, but you might. We'll see. Here's the question. Why are you here? I don't mean in the building. I just mean, why are you here? What's your purpose? What's your purpose? We've all had a season in life, at least I feel like I've had at least one or two. Maybe you feel like you're in one or have been in one where you feel like the caterpillars. You feel like my purpose is basically to keep moving. I have things to do. I have stuff to get done. I'm busy. But you couldn't necessarily say that you're focused on anything that really matters, on anything that will last. We just keep circling until we die. We're a little like Alice, if you remember the great part of Alice in Wonderland when she's trying to figure out where to go and she walks up to the cat and says, would you tell me where I ought to go from here? And the cat says, well, it depends a good deal on where you want to get. And Alice says, well, I don't really much care. And the cat says, well, it doesn't really matter where you go, right? There's no real guiding purpose or guiding question or guiding principle behind that life. And when we don't know why we're here, when we don't know what purpose is we're living for, We end up often like the caterpillars, moving, busy, exhausted, overwhelmed. And that's pretty much all we get. Because a clear purpose defines not only what we do, but what we don't do. It sort of divides our life and says, these are the things that really matter, and these are the things that really don't. It's almost like a filter. A clear calling, a clear purpose acts like a filter. Everything we've talked about in this series, from our money to our time to who we're friends with, close friends and relationship, ultimately comes down to a question like, what's your purpose? What is it that you live for? What is your calling? Maybe you've heard someone say it that way. And the answer to that question will greatly determine the way that your life plays out, what you do and what you don't do. I think there's two basic purposes. Look, I'm giving you a two-point sermon, not a 3.1, like I said last week. Two basic purposes that Jesus gives us pretty clearly in Matthew chapter 4. I think there are things that we have to do if we hope to experience this full life that he offers us. Two basic callings of every human being, I think, in the world, whether or not they know it. So if you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read verses 18 through 22, and then we'll go from there. This is Jesus is out by the Sea of Galilee, and he's about to call his first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, verse 18, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus just walking along when he runs into these guys who would become his first disciples. I never had brothers, but maybe some of you did. I've always kind of envisioned, like, what were they doing when Jesus walked up? Most brothers that I know fight a lot or all sorts of other sort of raucous things that happen when you have brothers. You imagine, I'm just picturing, I mean, these are a little bit older guys, but they're brothers. So what exactly is going on at this moment that Jesus walks up? I can envision them having some kind of a feud, even if it's just words at that moment. And Jesus walks up to these guys and goes, hey, you're fishing, right? This is what you do. This is your life. I want you to do something else. And he's about to call them to something differently. They were fishermen. That's something it was pretty popular in that time, but it wasn't what would be like an esteemed profession necessarily. But it paid the bills. It was what they knew how to do. They were able to provide for their family. They made enough to support it. And it was probably going okay. They felt, I would imagine, pretty comfortable. You could tell that one of them, this was a family business. Their father was there. He'd been doing it for a long time. And Jesus shows up and says two little words that start to change everything. Follow me. Right? That's the first thing he says. You should follow me. It's an invitation. He's inviting them to a different kind of calling than they've known before. The call to be a disciple, to learn from him, to walk in his footsteps. And this is a big time change for this group of fishermen. And I think this is the first call to you and to me, is the call to follow. We all have this calling on our lives, whether we realize it or don't. Every human being, I believe, is created to be in fellowship with God through Christ, and it's a call to follow. It's a call to be in relationship with Jesus. And it's not forced. Jesus doesn't come to these guys and make them follow him. He offers them an invitation to follow. Will you accept, is basically all he says. Will you follow? But don't miss how big of a decision it is for them and for us. I mean, it would mean a complete overhaul of their life, wouldn't it? They're fishermen. They know what they're doing. They've been there. They're probably pretty comfortable. They had stable jobs, they had family, everything seemed good, but in verse 22 we see that they dropped their nets, they left their boats and their father, and immediately they followed. You just pause there for a moment, doesn't that hit you a little bit? They left their dad? Every time I read that I go, really? Like that's, you left your dad to fish by himself? Have you thought about that? I could never do that. I mean, maybe you say, I could never do that. I've said that before. Family is too important. I can't leave my family. Here's probably what I'll tell you about that. It's easy to prioritize our families over following Jesus. And not just our families. It can be other things too. It could be our boats. It could be our occupation. It could be our family. That becomes our priority. And in this moment, Jesus is saying, I want you to follow me first. It's more important than your family. It's more important than your career. It's more important than this thing you've done forever. I want you to follow me. I want you to be in relationship with me. Ultimately, he's calling them to surrender, to lay down what was familiar and what they knew, and to pick up something new and to follow him. That's what the call really is for you and me. The call to follow is a call to surrender. Paul later, kind of clarifying this comment, is going to put it this way. Actually, Jesus later clarifying this comment is going to put it this way in Matthew 16. He's talking to the same disciples, and he says it this way. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. The call to follow is a call to surrender. It's to surrender our sin, the things we think are our purposes, the stuff we spend our time and our money on, and take up a cross, which doesn't mean some sort of necklace that I wear or tattoo that I get, right? I mean, this is like an instrument of death in this time. The cross is universally understood at that point as an instrument of death. Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me and be my disciple, it starts with dying to yourself and living for the one who laid his life down for you. It's where following begins. It's the starting point of the most important purpose of your life, is laying it down and following Jesus. It's not where it stops, but it's where it begins. So probably the first question for considering today is, have you actually begun to follow Jesus, or have you just heard the call? Have you heard him walk by on the shore and say, follow me, and it sounds nice, but you're not quite willing to leave the boats or your father or whatever those images would be for you? Because the first thing to begin, I think, at the core of your purpose and the thing your heart is longing for is a following relationship with Jesus. But he continues. He doesn't stop there. First he says, come follow me. Then he says, verse 19, I will send you out to fish for people, essentially. I will make you fishers of men. I have a friend, I can't read that verse anymore because I have a friend without thinking of this story, a friend that told me a story one time of being a teenager. He's out fishing. Some of you love fishing. Some of you are like neutral about fishing. Some of you are like, if I can go to a stock pond where I can throw a hook in and catch something without even baiting it, that's my kind of fishing. Like, you know, you're all across the board probably on fishing. I'm usually good to go once or twice a year. This guy is the same. And so he was out with his friends, not really good fishermen, and they're on a pontoon boat and they have one of those roofs or whatever. So they're trying to cast their lines out, and some of you would be great at this, like casting sidearm or whatever, but it doesn't work for everybody. And so in the boat, they're doing this, and all of a sudden my friend hears someone just scream. And you can kind of guess what happens, but someone tried to cast under the roof of this pontoon and caught his friend in the cheek, like in the mouth. And I don't know, he didn't tell me if that meant like in the mouth or if it was like just on the cheek, but he caught someone with, with the fishing hook. Some of your faces right now are awesome. He just, bam, right? And like now he says fishers of men, and I'm like, how do you not think of that image for at least a millisecond? Bam, I caught one, right? Like, ooh, please don't ever do that to someone else because that is brutal. Okay, that's not exactly what Jesus is saying, right? He's not talking about that. But he is calling us to do something that sounds a little odd. I want to make you fishers of men. It's the second call that he gives in this passage. Follow me, and then I will make you fishers of men. I think we can see this as a call to enlist, maybe, or as a call to participate, a call to be in action for the mission and the purpose of God. And it's couched. He doesn't even ask them necessarily to change their occupation, does he? He takes them from being fishermen of fish to being fishermen of fish. Of men, I mean, he changes the idea, but he keeps them as fishermen. It's what they know how to do. He puts it in language that they can understand, that they can easily translate into what he wants them to do. The call to enlist is not necessarily about changing a job. It's about partnering with God and his mission in the world. And it means using whatever skills and talents and abilities you have, things you already possess most likely, and that God has given you, and changing the way you see them and what it is that you've been given them for. Changing, if we might say it, your preoccupation, not necessarily what you do for a living. What do you change it to? What is it that we're called to enlist in? What is it that we're called to be committed to? What does it mean to fish for people? That's such a weird saying. I think Paul clarifies it for us a little bit in 2 Corinthians. You can write this down and look at it later, but 2 Corinthians 5, Paul's going to kind of, I think, say the same thing, but in a different way that might be helpful. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 20, Paul says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. This is the follow. Have you followed? This is what happens when you follow Jesus. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed us to the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What is God's purpose? What is God's mission? What is God up to in the world? Paul says he's reconciling it to himself in Christ. What does that mean? I mean, it's a big word, reconciliation, right? I mean, that seems like, do I really understand that? Well, God is just simply repairing the relationship that was broken. When sin entered the world and we were separated from God, Christ came, and by his act of obedience and his death and his resurrection, he reconciles us back to the Father. And then he begins this process of reconciling the world to himself. He is repairing the relationship. He is restoring that which has been broken. And Paul says, now not only that, but if you have been reconciled to God in Christ, you are now his agent, his ambassador of reconciliation. God is the author of this plan. Christ is the agent by which it happens, and you are the ambassadors to bring it to the world. You are called to enlist, to offer your everyday life for the mission and purpose of God. You're not created simply to punch a clock 40 hours a week, or for some of you, 50 or 60 hours a week, depending on your career. Your purpose is bigger than that. A lot of us know it in our hearts, but I think it's really easy along the way just to get cluttered, for life to happen and feel like we just got to go through the motions. We just got to be the caterpillar running around the edge. God created and designed you for more than that. Are we spending our life focused on things that really matter, that will really last? There's a story of a man who was an excavator, guy that dug holes for a living, and he got hired to dig a hole for a swimming pool. And the project actually went pretty well. He was pretty happy with how it turned out. Got the whole thing dug in a couple days. It was a pretty specific kind of pool that he was digging. And so he called the guy that was going to install the pool and said, I'm ready, you can come do it. In the meantime, though, the homeowner came back. He'd been on vacation. He saw the hole, and he just yelled at this guy, what are you doing? What did you do to my yard? And the man says, well, this is the way you wanted the swimming pool, right? This is the shape and everything. Did I do something wrong? And the guy says, well, I didn't order a swimming pool. That was my neighbor. Man, 3 days of his life just gone, right? He dug a hole for nothing. Had to put it back, dig another one. There are a lot of things you can spend your life on that really ultimately won't matter. You can stay really busy running in circles and not get anywhere. But you were created for more than that. You were called to follow Jesus and then be preoccupied with his mission of reconciling the world to himself. And when we live into those callings, our everyday lives get infused with this sense of an eternal purpose and an eternal substance. It's not just true of individuals. It is true of you. It's also true of the body of Christ, of our church, of all churches. To follow Jesus and grow closer to him is part of our purpose, to fish for people, to do everything we can to help those who have not been reconciled to God, to be reconciled to him. It's part of what it means to follow and to fish for men. The natural trajectory for you and for every group of followers of Christ is probably to withdraw from the world, whatever that is. But Paul is saying, look, God's call is that we ought to be reconciling the world to him, bringing the message of reconciliation. Remember the Paul Harvey quote one time is saying, we're called to be fishers of men, not just keepers of the aquarium. We have a mission. You're called to enlist. Be reconciled and go help reconcile others. Follow, go. There's always this like two-part thing in Scripture. The two calls always go hand in hand. So do you know why you're here? Not just in church, but in life. Do you know what your purposes are? Do you know that you were created on purpose and for a purpose? And have you stepped into those callings? Have you heard Jesus say, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And you've gone, I will leave my boats, and I will leave my father, and I will give up everything for you. And I will receive this life. Because if we are really going to live this life that Jesus offers, when he says, I want to offer you life to the full, we have to actually take it up. And that means laying down ours. We can't just tack it on as something on the side. So I'll just give you a couple questions and maybe action steps. And some of this might mean you need to go back and look at the things we've talked about in previous weeks. Have you answered the call to follow? Are you a follower of Jesus? There's no time like now to take that opportunity. Jesus said, if you try to hold on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give your life to him, you'll find it. That's his promise. That's where full life is found. Paul said, I implore you, be reconciled to God. It's as simple as just telling Jesus, yes, I'll follow you. I recognize my sin has separated me from you. I know you offer me forgiveness, and I want to take up this call to lay my life down and give it all and follow you. It begins the right relationship with your Heavenly Father. And I would probably add to that, have you really actually received it? This isn't as simple, I don't think, following Jesus is just saying a prayer once. I think that's a good gateway, a good doorway. This is really a call to lay your life down and to take up a whole new kind of life. Is that something that you've done? Only you can answer that. If you have you embraced the call to enlist? To be an active part of the mission of God, to see the world reconciled to him? There's a friend this week, church leader, from our denomination, but he posted this quote this week. And my question is just, are you a disciple? That's kind of what we're talking about. Have you become not just a follower, but a disciple? He said this, the only way to know for sure someone is a disciple is if they've made another disciple. In parts of China, this is more than I put up there for you this morning, but he goes on, in parts of China, because we have Wesleyan churches there, they don't even count someone as a Christian till they have planted a church. Christians are Christians based on Matthew 28, which is the Great Commission. You're called to go and make disciples. And Matthew 22, the Great Commandment. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor. The church is off mission when it focuses on more than that, and it doesn't even know its mission when it doesn't at least do that. You are called to follow Christ and to be an agent, an ambassador of reconciliation for what God is trying to do in the world. If you're a Christian, this is your call. You are an ambassador of Christ. Have you taken up that call? Have you found your place? Have you found how your gifts and the things that God has given you and abilities are meant to be used for his kingdom? Maybe you've just lost that. Maybe life has gotten busy and overwhelmed, and you've gone, oh, I used to be really passionate about those things, and I've kind of just let other stuff creep in, and I really haven't been focused on that anymore. Maybe this is just a call to get back to the thing that really has eternal value in your life. Maybe this morning you just need to renew a commitment to that purpose and to that mission. And so simplifying for you is actually just simplifying back to these two core purposes of the life in Christ by making him the preoccupation of your life, by being a fisher of men, not just a keeper of the aquarium, by following, by being an agent of reconciliation for his kingdom. Can't answer all those questions, but if they're questions that you are even struggling to answer, I'd love to get together with you and just talk over them. And I'd love for you to think, even in these two things, how does this affect the conversations we've had the last 4 weeks? How does my answer to this question of what is my purpose, how does that affect how I'm spending time alone with Christ? We talked about that in the first week. How does this affect my schedule? How does this affect my relationships? How does this affect my budget? It affects all those things, if it's really the purpose. So I'm just praying this week is a week that we dig deep into this and really consider for our own soul what we're living for. That's all I have. Let's pray. Father, I think this call to the disciples still as someone that wants to follow you with my heart, my whole heart is so challenging. I mean, you call these guys, you walk along the beach and you just say, come follow me. And I'm going to give you a purpose and I'm going to give you a mission. I'm going to make you into something radically different. And if you'll just give me your life and surrender it, I will give you a life that is more full and more complete than you can imagine. That is really what you were designed to live for. Will you help each of us wrestle with that? This isn't a question anybody can answer for us. It's not a question that anyone can solve for us. Our parents can't do it. Our spouses can't do it. It's just us responding to you in this call. Will you help us to see the need to follow and to receive forgiveness and restoration from you? And then help us to be about this ministry of reconciliation, that you are calling the world to be reconciled and you are redeeming things that are broken and you're restoring things that have been made unwhole. You're bringing them back to yourself. And we get to be people that spread that news. As Paul said, we get to implore people, be reconciled. God longs for a relationship with you. Be reconciled to him. Help each of us in our own soul to know that. And then if we need to make steps, God, help us to do that. And then as we go this week, may we start to find little ways. Maybe it's that friend that we know that is needing reconciliation with you. and we just finally start to say a couple things to help them. Maybe it's something we feel like we were supposed to do and we've just kind of been putting it off, but you've called us to do it. Help us to take those steps this week. Help us to simplify our lives. Help us to stay on purpose. Help us to live lives that matter for eternity. We ask that you would give us by your Spirit the power to do that. In Christ's name this morning, we ask all this. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here. It's wonderful to see you all. Have a great week.